Good morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord and always introduced. I'm so encouraged already. I'm ready to preach the word of God. Well, welcome to Every Nation Church Malaysia. We warmly welcome you. We have been on this series called We Believe. Say, We Believe. Now, before I go to the topic of the day, I want to share, as I shared in the service yesterday, that we will be launching our Cantonese service sometime in August this year, okay? Praise God. Now, if you know Pastor Eric Tay, one of our Mandarin service pastor, has been leading and pastoring our Cantonese life group for many, many years. And it has, especially after COVID, it has grown from one life group to two life group to three to four, and they meet once a month for the past maybe 2 to 3 years. And I think God has laid a burden in his heart to really start a Cantonese service to serve the Cantonese-speaking community, all right? So this is some pictures taken in some of the outreaches, some of the, I think, Chinese New Year event that they had. But I think it is in our heartbeat to serve this Cantonese-speaking committee. So if you have friends and families who are mainly Cantonese-speaking, do bring them to our service sometime in August. It's going to take place same time as our Saturday evening service at 5 o'clock. Okay, so that is opposite at the Annex Hall. Right. So if you feel that you want to build together, you want to serve for a certain period of time, 3 months, 6 months, in tech or in ushering or in VDJ, do get in touch with any of the pastors or scan so that Pastor Eric can be in touch with you, right? So that is just a little exciting news that I want to bring to all of us as we start. Now, everybody say, we believe. We always say mission brings us together, relationship keeps us together, theology strengthens us together. If you have been with Every Nation for some time, you would know that mission is always at the forefront. We are always going, we're always reaching the lost, we're always going to the nation, going to the campus, make disciples. Mission has always been at the forefront because Every Nation, it's a missional movement. And if you have been here for some time, we often hear people saying that, hey, Every Nation is fairly relational church. That as they encounter the people, as they encounter the leaders and pastors, they realize that, hey, it's a fairly relational church. It's the same for Every Nation. Every time before I have a ministry meeting with any of the global pastors, one of the first questions that they will ask me is not, how is the church? It is not, how is your ministry? How is your children? So relationship, family is big in Every Nation. So relationship keeps us together. But theology is equally as important because we need to be strengthened in the foundation of our faith. I think it was last year, I had a conversation with a working adult in his mid-20s, and he was struggling in his workplace. He was wondering if his Christian faith, which he grows up in a Christian family, whether or not this Christian faith works in the working environment with pressure and with different things, with politics and dishonesty that is ongoing. He is not sure. His faith was shaken. And I was talking to him, processing it with him, and we came to the conclusion that potentially his foundation of his faith has never been grown, has never been strengthened, so that now as he faced with the pressures of life, he finds that his foundation of faith is potentially lacking, right? Reminds me of a classic story. My son, he is 16 years old this year, but I remember when he was roughly about 4 years old, and there was one time I was sick, so I was taking an afternoon nap. I didn't go to work in the guest room. I was sleeping in the guest room, and he walked in, and he saw me. I was groggy, and he says, Daddy, are you sick? I says, yes. Would you pray for Daddy? And he say, okay, and he put his hands on the bed and says, dear God, I pray for the food. Bless the food in Jesus' name. And he walked out of the room, okay? So at 4 years old, his prayer life, he couldn't differentiate between praying for the food and praying for the sick. But I thank God that his prayer has grown, okay? So whatever journey of life that you may be in, whatever journey of faith that you may be in, bottom line is we need to strengthen our theology, amen? Now, we have been in this journey, we believe. It's really taken out from this booklet produced by Every Nation Global. Now, I wish that this booklet was available many, many years earlier. I believe that if you have not taken any systematic theology course, this is systematic theology made simple. Okay, you can do it as a personal study, in groups, reflection, devotion. It is powerful. Okay, so you can get one copy outside. Now, today, as we talk about the doctrine of church, what comes to your mind when the word church is mentioned? What is your experience when it comes to, what is your emotion when it comes to the word church? Oh, have you ever wondered what makes a church a church? Yesterday in dialogue, someone was asking, Pastor, if we as Christians, we gather in an office, three, four of us gathering in an office over lunchtime, is that a church? What makes church? Is it the music? Is it a prayer? Is it the gathering? What is a church? Now, I want to start by saying that I love the church. Okay, I love God's church. I love different kinds of church. The church that meets in a mall, or the church that meets by the river. I like the church that has very beautiful traditional cathedral, or the church that meets at home because it's illegal to gather in those nations. I got saved through the ministry and the outreach of this church about 28, 29 years ago. And a lot of good things. My faith journey, of course, due to God, but it's a lot of times due to the fruit and labor of the people and the leaders of this church. Now, as we look at what is church today, the doctrine of church, one of the go-to New Testament books is really the book of Ephesians. In fact, Ephesians is the crown jewel of the study of church. As Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, Ephesus was a very dear church to Paul. In fact, he spent the longest time there. He was there for 3 years. He had an emotional farewell with the leaders in Acts chapter 19. It was a very dear church that was very close to Paul's heart. Okay, so let me read this passage. So Paul was addressing the Jews and the Gentile. Okay, so this time around is about 20 years after Jesus Christ, 20 to 25 years after Jesus Christ rose again. So God's community church was a fairly new concept in Ephesus. So they didn't know how to act, they didn't know how to believe. And this is what Paul says, he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens. Say fellow citizens with God's people. Okay, so that's the God's people. And members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Okay, we sang the song earlier, chief cornerstone. A cornerstone in those days, it's a huge stone that typically put at the corner so that the rest of the stone is built with reference to the chief cornerstone. So it says, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. Say the word temple. In the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Lord, we ask you to speak to us right now as we open our hearts, open our ears to discover your heartbeat for the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So he speaks about Jesus is the cornerstone. And the church is God's people. It is God's building. It is built together. And it is a place where God dwells. Now, reading this, I hope that when you walk into the church this morning, you have an expectation to meet with God. I hope that as you walk to church this morning, you have the expectation to relate to one another the way that we are called to relate to one another with Jesus as our reference. That you come ready to connect with one another. You come ready to lift up someone else, encourage one another, to pray for one another. And I hope that as you walk into church today, you are ready to bring about worship to God because it is a temple. Now, what is a temple? A temple is a place God dwells. A temple is a place that God's Spirit is presence with us, that we are ready to be in worship with God's presence in our midst. That hearts will be lifted. I'll lift up our holy hands, sacrifice of praise in this place. But sadly, a lot of times, today, when we look at church, there is a very vast distinct between what God has meant church to be compared to our modern contemporary church in the era that we are living in. What are some of the threats to Christianity and church today? Based on some of the articles that I read, there are three things that is threatening Christianity today. And I think it's a good reflection for us as a Christian and for us as a church. Number one is consumeristic approach when it comes to church. And it is not just the church, but everything else in life, right? When we go to a restaurant, there are so many customization flavor, ice cream flavors. When we play computer games, we can customize our avatar and just different things. We live in a consumeristic culture, right? But this, as we bring this to a church, the thinking is that, how can a church serve me? What can I get out of the church, right? But consumeristic says, serve me. While as the gospel says, deny ourselves and pick up our cross. Second threat is normalism, which is Sunday Christian, cultural Christianity, that potentially we carry the Christian name, but we lack identity, we lack faith, we lack the power at work, and a lot of times we live our lives overwhelmed and we live our life just like anyone else from Monday to Saturday, that we seek the benefit of grace and grace and forgiveness, but lack discipleship or the cost of discipleship. We only hear what our itching ears want to hear, as per what 2 Timothy mentioned. And number three, digitalization and individualism, especially post-COVID. It's easy to hide behind online, right? It's convenient, it is comfort, right? We can watch a preacher that we like from the other side of the world. We can listen to our favorite worship song, and we can listen to our podcasts and messages that feeds our soul. But it's never meant to be like that, okay? We are living in a world where we are detached from engagement, we are detached from community, we are detached from interacting with one another. It's never meant to be that way. Francis Chan says, God didn't design us simply to consume spiritual content. He designed us to look into people's eyes, share their pain, and bear their burdens in life, right? Now, my wife reminded me that when my wife and I, when we were dating, okay, so that was probably 20 years ago, she was going through a very tough patch. Not because she was dating me, okay, but she was going through a very tough patch. Because at that time, her mom, at that time, my future mother-in-law, was going through chronic mental health challenges. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia. She has to be on medication. Now, this was 20 plus years ago, and she stayed in a shop. That time, they lived in a shop lot. It was a very noisy neighborhood, and every time the prayer sound goes out 5 times a day, and she will constantly be thinking about different things, and she will get violent, and it was a very difficult patch months of her life. And as we shared to the different people in community, a different one just stepped in. One of the sister in a church offered, at the time her house, one of her house was vacant, and she offered to stay in my father-in-law and my mother-in-law to stay in that place because it's quieter, to give a peace of mind. Some people offered to bring them to the hospital. Some sisters in our church visited my mother-in-law in the hospital to pray for her, pray for my wife. Just different. And I think that is church, when we are able to walk with someone, when we are able to look into someone's eyes and to share their pain and share their joy. That's church. And we can't do it when it's just online. Now, online is a great supplement, but it's never meant to be a substitute for church. Okay, so what do we believe about church? This is found in the book, and I highlighted it in different colors, and we're going to talk about the 4 points. So I'm going to read. It says, every nation, statement of faith, we believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church, the body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. As God's holy people on mission, the visible church is expressed in gathered communities where believers assemble to pray. We did that last night in our prayer meeting. Worship, hear God's word, receive the sacraments, and fellowship with one another. Through the ministry of the Spirit, faithful disciples, and biblically qualified leaders, Christ builds and grows His church. So the first thing in blue, we speak about the 4 marks of the church. And these 4 words is not just every nation word, but it has roots in early Christianity. And it has roots in the Nicene Council, whereby the creed, which today it is the most widely accepted and affirmed creed across the Christian world, Catholics, Orthodox, Protestant, And we mentioned that the four marks of the church, it's one, which is unity. Holy means set apart. We are God's people, set apart. We are called to live different from the world. Universal, it means across time. It's for everyone, everywhere, across history. And apostolic means we are still, it's like running a relay race. We are still conveying the same gospel as per the teachings and the witness of the first apostle. So these four marks of the church kind of stood for the test of time for more than 1,800 years. These marks of the church has stood true. And Jesus says he will build a church, Matthew 16. And when he comes back in Revelation, he comes back for his bride, the church. So the church is not a man-made idea. The church is not something new, but it has been there for more than 2,000 years. And C.S. Lewis, he says, the church is a thing that stretches out through time and space and holds its root in eternity. So it's almost like when you zoom out of space and time, the church, it is, in a sense, it's throughout eternity. It's God's idea, and God has been building it for centuries. And we can be at rest that as long as Christ is the head of the church, we are in a good place. Right? Throughout history, through human sinfulness, through human wickedness and selfishness, God was still able to carry through His church and His purpose. Christ is the head. Say, He is the head of the church and we are His body. Say, we are His body. We want to build a Christ-centered church, not a personality strength-centered church. We don't have our senior pastor's face or pastor's face all over the hall, okay? You don't walk in and this is Sean Kong's auditorium. We don't, okay? Because it's a Christ-centered church. It is not building a program-centered church, not an event-centered church, not a music-centered church. Yes, all those are important, but primarily because Christ is the head, we want to build a Christ-centered church. Now, when it comes to church, we know how Jesus feels about the church. He loved the church, and He gave Himself up for the church. So Jesus died for His church. You know, today, it's very common for us to say, well, I love Jesus, but I'm not sure. I'm not His church. I'm not sure. Okay, I love Jesus, but you know, it's for me. Church is well, not my thing. But if we love Jesus, who is the head, we need to learn to love the church, His body. Verse 26 to 27, it speaks about how God is working through the people. God is purifying, sanctifying, washing, cleansing us, and we are all work in progress, okay? Turn to the person next to you and say, you are work in progress. Okay, some of the spouses say, I know. I know you're work in progress, okay? Faster. But we are all work in progress. There wouldn't be never a perfect church. Last week was Mother's Day, correct? My daughter, Faith, she made a Mother's Day card for my wife. And in that Mother's Day card, okay, obviously she said, thank you, Mom, for different things. I love you for different things. And she gave my wife the rating. You know how 5 stars rating? And she gave my wife 4.5 stars. Okay, obviously, my wife was not very happy. 4.5? What do you mean, okay? What do you mean you give me 4.5? And she asked Faith, what do you mean 4.5 stars? Eh? And Faith says, 4.5, very good, are you what? Mom, you know nobody's perfect, right? Okay, I say, my wife is okay. I give you 5 stars, okay? I give you 5 stars. There's no perfect church, guys. I know sometimes we think that it's good, you know, we think that we are all good and great, but nobody is perfect. When you find a perfect church, don't join it because you will make it not perfect anymore. Right? There is no, but we are far from perfect. And that's okay because imperfect church, it doesn't stop God from loving the church. It doesn't stop God from using the church for His purpose. And He has been doing it for 2,000 years. We're far from perfect and God will continuously, until the day He come, sanctify us, cleansing us, working in us, and that is part and parcel of spiritual maturity. The first thing about church is that it is a place where Christ is enthroned as the head and His body is love. So let's learn to love the body of Christ, not just every nation, but churches around our city, our nation, and around the world. Let's speak well. Let's build up other other people's church as well, because we are all one. Remember? One, holy, universal, apostle. We are all one in Christ. Jesus is not a Methodist. Jesus is not Baptist. Jesus is not every nation, right? Jesus is the head of the church. Number two, let me see. Christ builds his church through the Holy Spirit. And I think that's so important, a great reminder of us today. The early church depends so much on the Holy Spirit. They didn't have facilities like this. They didn't have even a printed Bible yet. They didn't have SOP and procedure. They didn't have all these things, but they rely heavily on the Holy Spirit. And yet it was, yes, it was persecuted, but it was powerful. It was life-giving because God builds his church through the Holy Spirit. Now today, let's not kid ourselves by thinking that we can build this church through our programming, through our planning, through our services and all that. Yes, we need all that. But let's not forget, the primary ingredient is that Christ built his church through the Holy Spirit. But Ephesians, right? Remember, this message, we'll just look at mainly Ephesians. It says, we are joined together, rises up to be a holy temple, built together, a dwelling place which God lives by his Spirit. A temple is a place that God lives, that God dwells with us, in us. Let's be aware, okay? Let's be aware of God's presence. Sometimes we lost the awe and the reverence when we come to church. Back in the ancient church, even, 500 years, 200 years, when you walk into a church, there is a sense of reverence. There's a sense of awe that God is in this place. But we lost that somehow. Okay, we need to bring back. I know in our services like this, our auditorium is built in a way that it's so comfortable that we just want to sit back and relax and just watch. But the temple is where we come together and actively engage and participate in worship because God is in this place. But when we know that God is in this place, it changes the way we come to church. We'll come to church expectantly. We will not depend on whether they sing our favorite song or not. We will come ready to meet with. We don't need to be entertained. Why we feel bored in our service or during worship is because we fail to realize that it is worship. I like what Tozer says, that a church that can't worship must be entertained. And men who can't lead a church to worship must provide the entertainment. Now, he wrote this more than 100 plus years ago, before smartphone, before all this technology. And I could think about the modern church today that somehow we need to be entertained because we are easily bored. But I hope that we will begin to realize that God is in this place. God is in this place. I want to do something new today. I want to give 30 seconds for us just to close our eyes and have a 30 seconds of just silence. Okay, you can put away your phone, put away your Candy Crush. Just silence 30 seconds and just to be aware and just to engage with the presence of God. Say, God, you are here. Would you speak to us? Okay, let's just do that for 30 seconds. Okay, 1, 2, go. God, we thank you that you are here with us. And I pray, God, Lord, if we have take your presence for granted, we ask for your forgiveness. But I pray, God, Lord, that each time we come, that we begin to realize that it is a temple of God where your Spirit dwells among us. That I pray that as we come, that we prepare our hearts to worship you, God, Lord. As we serve, as we interact, as we listen to the word, as we sing the songs, God, Lord, that we will be in worship unto you. Hallelujah. Okay, so number two, a place, a church is a place where God dwells and worship happens. Amen. Number three, Christ builds his church through people, through disciples and true leaders. Ephesians 4, God gave the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip, say the word equip, say equip. Now, equip is not just train or teach. Equip has the picture, the Greek word has restoring back to its original purpose. So it means that we are being equipped so that our original purpose is so that we can do the work of ministry. we can do the work of service, NIV says, for building up the body of Christ so that we become unity in faith and we become mature. Okay, a lot of times we think that, oh, pastor, I am not mature yet, so I cannot minister, I cannot serve. But the opposite is true. We are to be equipped so that we can do the work of the ministry, and along the way, we grow in unity and we grow in maturity. Okay, that's part and parcel of growing in the Lord. I remember there was a podcast that I listened to. This was end of last year. One of the pastors in the U.S., and today he is in his early 40s, and he's a humble guy. He leads a thriving church. And in the interview, they were talking about heart issues. And he was sharing this example when he was fresh from seminary in his early 20s. He was very confident. He was excited to serve God. And he took up a job, or he went for an interview of a church that was already in decline. Okay, so it's a very small church, and the people were leaving. And he was kind of to be hired to kind of turn around the church. So he went for the interview. He met with the eldership, and he preaches in a Sunday service. He connected well. He preached well, and he felt very good about his preaching and his meetings. And the lead elder tells him that, okay, give us a week, and then we will get back to you. And a week later, he met up with the lead elder, and the lead elder told him that they have decided that he's not the man for the job. And he was very surprised, He said, oh, why not? Okay, I thought I did very well. I preached very well. I connected very well. And the lead elder tells him this. He says, we know you are gifted, but we are not sure if you are godly. Wow. Okay. And he took that encouragement or correction to heart, and that constantly allow him to grow. You know, part and parcel of growing, maturity, is allowing people to speak truth in love in our lives. Okay, so we live in a time whereby we no longer like to be corrected. We no longer want to hear correction from people. But here it says, Ephesians 4, we speak the truth in love so that we can grow up into every way to Him who is the head, into Christ. And then it says that the whole body joined and held together, the word in bold, grow so that it builds itself up in love. Okay, so the church, it's really a place where spiritual growth happens through community, through discipleship, and through service and mission. And we grow in all this area because all of us, we need each other. I need the church as much as the church needs me. You need your life group as much as the life group needs you. In one of the pastors' meeting end of last year, I heard this from a pastor in his late 70s. And he says that never underestimate the power of that community. And he said to us, a group of our pastors there, he says, you need each other as much as each other needs you, because we need to grow. We need people to constantly encourage us, correct us, and grow. One story that I read, it's a true story. There was a scientific experiment in the 1990s. It's called Biosphere 2 in the U.S. So they were trying to recreate the entire Earth ecosystem. They built a huge dome, about 40 acres. That's about 30 football field. And they plant trees, and they're trying to recreate an ecosystem of oxygen, and they were planting food, and there were scientists staying inside that dome, okay? At first, all looks well. The tree grow very fast. The vegetation grow very fast. But they begin to realize at about 8 to 10 years, the trees started dropping one by one, and dropping because it cannot carry its own weight, the trees. And they begin to realize it is because they live in this dome whereby there is no natural wind resistance as they grow up. But because of that, their roots were shallow, and their roots were not tested with the pressure of the natural wind, the natural pressure, the natural stress, the natural resistance. And because of that, it couldn't carry its own weight. You know, spiritual growth and maturity happens when we have stress and pressure that allows us to grow. And when you go to the gym, you build muscles when there are resistance, right? That's why they call it resistance band, right? To build, to exercise and whatnot. We grow when there is resistance. We grow when there is pressure. We grow when there is challenges in our life. And we need physical community to do that. We need physical gathered community to encourage one another. Hebrews 10, the only verse that is not in Ephesians. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. The power of a gathered community. Online is a supplement, it's not a substitute. Together, encouraging one another all the more as you see the day growing near. You know, as I end, I want to encourage us to have a fresh perspective of the church. Have a renewed love for the church. Yes, we may have different bad experience. We may have different journey of the church. But it is God's church, that Christ is the head. That it doesn't stop, as imperfect as any church can be, it doesn't stop God from loving the church. And it doesn't stop God from using the church for His purpose. I want to end this, before we go to the dialogue, by praying for the church. Paul prayed for the church. In fact, he was so emotional and deeply connected that he bowed down to pray for the church. Verse 16, he prays that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, which is all of us, being rooted and grounded in love, we may have the strength to comprehend with all God's people what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that we begin to realize that we are God's people. Join together, connect together. Yes, we are not perfect, but we can look to you as the head of the church. We can look to the Holy Spirit who is constantly, continuously at work in us to sanctify us so that we can be more and more like you. And true community, true discipleship, true iron sharpens iron, true leaders, we can grow in unity and we can grow in maturity. Help us, Lord, to have the right understanding of church and to have a renewed love for your church. God, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen, amen.